I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh, gracious God, we all come from different places. I don't know everybody's story. But I know, God, that you're a God of incredible love that meets us right where we are in the midst of each of those stories. And I pray this morning that we might all be able just to take a breath, to allow your Holy Spirit to fill us. And as I speak this morning, somehow, God, you might speak through me. Lord, that you might give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning, that you might open our minds to understanding, that you might open our hearts to be willing to be transformed from the spaces that we're currently in. So come, Holy Spirit, do what you do and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanna start off, this is not a sermon about Mother's Day. I'm gonna talk about something that I think matters a lot to moms, but I think it matters to everybody. But I wanna acknowledge moms. I texted my mom this morning, said I'll call you later this afternoon, Mom. I'm grateful for my own mother. I'm grateful for the lessons that she taught me and the ways that she loves me. I'm grateful for my wife and for the ways that she's a mom to our kid. And I received an email last night from somebody in our church that reminded me that in the midst of celebrating today, it's also can be super hard for people. It's hard for people who've lost their mom. It's hard for people who didn't have a great relationship with their mom. Today is hard for people who long to be a mom but couldn't be a mom. There's lots of tension that lives in a day like today. And the beauty of our church is we try to live in the midst of that tension. So we don't try to make you celebrate and we don't try to make you grieve, but I want to encourage you to be right where you are this morning. And again, allow God to do what God does in this space. So we're in this series, What's That? And we've been in it for a few weeks now. This is week three, where we're dealing with your questions. And when it came to today, I really started to walk through and look through all of these questions of people who were struggling to find pause. People were struggling to find peace. I thought about the questions that people had brought into my office. So many people recently had come and they met with me and they said, I'm just struggling with our national culture, with the culture of the world, with all of the things that are going on, illnesses, pain. And people kept asking me these questions about how to find peace. Now, the question we're going to address today is, how do I attain the peace of Jesus? By the way, none of you asked it that way. Not one person said, Tim, how do I attain the peace of Jesus? But I wanted to frame this question that you asked in so many different ways in a way that I think can give us context, in a way that I believe can really get us to a place, because Philippians 2 says our attitude should be the same as that of Christ. So how do we get to that attitude of Christ when it comes to this? People said, I'm dealing with stress. People said, I'm struggling with the world. I'm struggling with this. But how do we get to the peace of Jesus? Now, I did something last week that I've been trying not to do as much lately. I opened the news on my computer, and I started reading the headlines, and I saw things like this. 8 stupid things Americans overspend on. I was like, that's nice. Okay, the next thing, I'm a neurologist. Here's why dementia is rising. And I have dementia in my own family, and that caused me anxiety. And then stock up now, 10 canned foods are about to get more expensive. And I said, not canned foods, right? It was seriously like it was hitting me and I could feel my blood boil. Anybody else when you watch or read the news, you feel yourself getting anxious? You feel that anxiety coming? And when I was reading these and I started to feel that, I had this moment of conviction. I said, oh my goodness, this had nothing to do with the sermon. And I said, I am preaching a sermon next Sunday on peace. And I am the least peaceful person in the world at this moment. I was sitting there being filled with more and more anxiety, more and more frustration, more and more fear, if I'm being honest. So today's question, how do we attain the peace of Christ? It's around this idea of how we find space in this time to not be anxious. How do we find space in this time to not allow it to overwhelm us? How do we find space right now to not be paralyzed by all the realities of the world. It's a divisive time, social media. By the way, I do blame a lot of our anxiety on social media. Anybody else? Because it's happening so rapidly and so quickly. In an article called Information Overload is Killing Us, it talked about the word pollution. And when you hear pollution, you usually think of the environment, and you usually think of animals, and you think of the oceans, and you think of the air, and you think of all of those things. But this was thinking about it as information. And how our minds are polluted with all the information that's coming at us at one time. And we have to pay attention because it's really starting to overwhelm us. And the question is, are we equipped to handle it? There was a 2024 letter published in Nature Human Behavior where science argued that we need to treat information pollution the same way we treat environmental pollution. Because it's really taking our capacity away to think and to grow and to move. It's leading to actual paralysis. Information overload is leading to paralysis because the mind can only take in so many things at one time. And you get to the place where you take in so much that you shut off the rest of the world. You shut off your family. You shut off those you love. You shut off your work, and you sit there completely paralyzed by all of the information. The American Psychological Association defines information overload as the state when the intensity of information exceeds an individual's processing capacity, leading to anxiety, poor decision-making, and other undesirable consequences. And I believe this not simply because they said it, but I believe it because I've experienced it. I have experienced information overload recently, and I'm mildly overwhelmed by it, if I'm being honest. Now, I want to pause here just for a second, because I think you can't talk about peace and anxiety without naming real clinical anxiety that folks have. And I don't want to discount that at all. There's real clinical anxiety that folks receive counseling for, that folks receive medicine for, and that's by no means is this message to say just get over your real clinical anxiety. Please don't hear that. But this message today is to talk about all the other anxiety that is coming on us. All the other anxiety that we're holding on to, all the other anxiety, which is the majority of anxiety, that we can actually do something about. And much of it, I think, comes from fear. Much of it comes from the unknown. Much of it comes from this place of feeling overwhelmed by our possible 401ks, overwhelmed by our children's future, overwhelmed by what's going on in the nation, by what's going on in the world, another world war. Another thing that's happening, overwhelmed by poverty. We can be overwhelmed by all of these things because we don't know the future. And the question is, how in the midst of all of this, because this was not unlike what was going on in the first century, friends. It's not unlike what was going on in the time of Christ, in the time of the disciples, as they walked through this world that was very politically struggling. As they walked through a world that was unsafe for many people, where poverty was deep, where war was real. So how in the world, when all of these things are going on, how can we find peace in this space? I want to take us this morning to a text written by Paul. Paul was a missionary. He's writing to a group of people that he deeply loves in a place called Philippi. And he writes to these people, and he's trying to tell them how to live and how to find peace in the midst of all that's going on. He's trying to tell them how to be the church and how to be in community with one another. And I want to take us to this text that's in chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. I want you to see what he says to the people. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes," read that next word, "all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You need to know, Paul is writing this from a pit. He is writing this from the depths of pain. You want to talk about anxiety? He has every reason to have it right now. There's fear going on. There's struggles going on. And he's writing it from this place. And he says, as if he's singing this song from the 1980s, don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. It's easy for him to say. He's just in one of the most terrible situations in the world. Dangerous places in the world. One of the most dangerous situations. And he says, pray. And I'm like, okay, great. I can pray when I have anxiety. And then he goes on to say, and give thanks. What? In the midst of your reality, in the midst of your world, in the midst of all of the things going on, pray and give thanks. Give thanks to God. Give thanks. Because what he knows is giving thanks. He knows that gratitude has the possibility of doing something to our anxiety. It has the possibility of reorienting our anxiety. Gratitude can reorient our anxiety. Do you know that? Do you know if you wake up in the morning and you make a decision to be thankful? It is why prayer first thing in the morning is so helpful. It is helpful because instead of going to our cell phones, which most of us do, and open it up to see what in the world must have happened over the last 6 hours while we were sleeping, what if we started with gratitude? What if we started with simply giving God thanks? Paul says if we do that, it's going to reorient our anxiety. It's going to change our anxiety. It's going to turn it into a different place. Now, this doesn't happen overnight. It's not like you can wake up tomorrow and give thanks and all is well. It takes time. It takes focus. Well, how are some of the ways you do this? I said you can wake up and do it. Here's the first way. You can do meditation. There are, speaking of your phone, there are tons of apps today that do meditation. And I find them really, really helpful for finding me in a space where I can pause, where I can focus on other things, where I can just listen to a voice. That prayer and that meditation and that space that you can find can be absolutely transformative. Now you say, Tim, I don't want to use my phone. I don't want to use an app. Okay, try centering prayer. What's centering prayer? Centering prayer, friends, sometimes in our prayer we struggle so much because we get caught up in all the words we're supposed to say. Centering prayer, you don't get caught up in any words. You just sit there and you listen for the voice of God to bring you peace. That's hard, right? First time I started doing this, I could last like 5 seconds. Then I was like, a bird, a bunny. So I have a word. I have a word that I use for centering prayer, and you can choose a word for you. My word is abundance, because I like to think of God as a God of abundance instead of a God of scarcity. And every time I notice, it takes me a few seconds to notice that I've wandered, I say abundance. And I literally picture myself just coming back to center. Coming back to that. Now, there are times when I do centering prayer for 30 minutes and I probably say abundance 500 times to bring myself back. But there are times when I can sit there for 5-10 minutes at a time and realize that I'm just sitting in the midst of it. You want peace? Try centering prayer. Try centering yourself on Christ. You want the peace of Jesus? Try finding yourself in that peace. You want to reorient that anxiety? Take a pause. Give thanks. Meditate, find that centering point, and find peace. Here's the next thing if we want to achieve peace. And he gets to this. If we want to achieve peace, we have to create peace. Oh, we can create anxiety, can't we? We're real good at creating anxiety. A real quick post on social media can create anxiety for a lot of people. A real quick word in the office can create anxiety for a lot of people. But if we want to be people of peace, as we spend time with God, we have to be people who then go on to create peace. Look at what he says in verse 8. He says, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, is if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Friends, when anxiety comes on us, and we can feel it. Anybody else feel it when it's coming? Like you start to breathe a little more differently? You start to tighten up a little bit? When you feel it coming on, reorient yourself. Think about whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is pure. And you know what? Some of you are going to say, Tim, that's sticking your head in the sand. Maybe. You're going to say, Tim, with all that's going on in the world, if all you're going to try to do is be positive, that's sticking your head in the sand. No, friends, I'm trying to talk to you about your health. I'm trying to talk to you about your anxiety, because all that stuff is going to happen in the world, whether we focus on it every moment of every day or not. But we have the capacity to transform peace around us by being people who create peace. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Be people who create peace for everybody else. It sounds fluffy. I get it. Again, people often tell me positivity is one of my number one strengths. It sounds fluffy. But friends, if you want to be people of peace, create peace for other people. In creating that peace, you will feel more peace yourself. You will find that peace. Jesus could have gotten in fights with everybody every day, because he knew exactly what was the way for the world to be better and the world to be good. But he walked most of the time with people by creating peace for them, by offering that peace to them. And that's really what Paul's talking about in this passage. So what if you did keep using Facebook all the time? What if you did keep using Instagram? And what if you chose to go 7 days? Ooh, that's a long time. 7 days and post nothing but positive things. It might start to transform other people around you. It might start to get to peace at other people around you. Because I don't know about you, but all my posts in the world about what I think politically or what I think is going on in the world, it hadn't changed one person's mind yet. Not one person's mind. But I'll tell you what, when I posted the other day that I was so thankful for the rain because my grass was green and my plants were coming up, all these people were like, me too, me too. We can either complain about the rain or we can be grateful for it. And it is in that gratitude that it changes the way we orient ourselves and orient others. And he says, if you do all these things and you share peace and you share and you think about whatever is noble, whatever is good, he claims in this passage, the God of peace will be with you. Y'all, I want the God of peace to be with me. And here's the truth. The God of peace is always with us. We just got to let God in. We got to let the God of peace be present in our lives. We have to let the God of peace transform our lives. We have got to stop blocking the God of peace from bringing us peace. And when I say we, I'm talking about me as much as you. The God of peace wants to infiltrate this whole world. And it means waking up every day and making a choice for the God of peace to infiltrate your world. That's what it takes. Be a person of peace if you want peace. You want peace? Be a person that shares peace, not one that brings anxiety to others. Think about your tone. Think about the way you interact with people. Let that peace infiltrate you. These are anxious times. Paul claims in anxious times that if we want to be less anxious, we have to allow God in. We have to allow Christ to transform us. It is easy for me to go my entire day and just become more and more and more anxious and not take a moment to pause and not take a moment to breathe. So right now, for my sake, let's just take a moment. Take a breath in. Let the world out of your head for a moment. Breathe in peace. Breathe out peace. The God of peace will be with you. I've decided that if I decide to look at the news tomorrow, I'm going to specifically look for the stories of peace. I'm going to specifically look for stories of hope. And if I can't find them, I'm going to look at another news source. And if I can't find them, I'm going to go and Google stories of hope. And I'm going to post them, because friends, hope begets hope, begets hope, begets hope, begets peace, begets peace, begets peace. And fear begets fear. Anxiety begets anxiety. Let us be people that beget peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.